verses 14 to 24. If you're using one of the Bibles around you, it's page 893. Last week, if you recall, for those who are here, we started a new section in John. The Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, was at hand, and there was great excitement of people. Thousands and thousands of people would make their way to Jerusalem to celebrate this feast. The brothers of Jesus were telling Jesus to go up to this feast, to go up with everybody else. And Jesus says, I'm not going to go up, at least not for now. He goes up privately, but the brothers wanted him to go up, and they're like, show yourself to the world if you are who you claim to be. And Jesus is like, I'm not going up. There's people there that basically want to kill me, so you guys go up. But if you recall, Jesus goes up privately, and the people there are talking. There's, again, thousands of thousands. There's a huge thing going on in Jerusalem, and people are wondering where Jesus is, and they're talking about him. Some think he's a good man. Some think he's a deceiver, a blasphemer. And so that's kind of where we pick up this morning, to give you some context of where we're at this morning. So before we begin, let's pray, and we'll have those things in mind. Father, Lord, we come to learn from you. We come to give you worship, but we come to learn. You are the good shepherd. You care for your sheep, and your sheep hear your voice. And so, Lord, we pray that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying this morning. As we just live out our lives following Jesus, as we try to share the living hope of Jesus with those around us, Lord, help us to consider some of the things this morning that you have in your word. We pray in his name. Amen. So John 7, 14 to 24, this is God's word. About the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began teaching. The Jews marveled, saying, how does this man have learning when he's never studied? So Jesus answered them, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory, but the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there's no falsehood. Has not Moses given you the law, yet none of you keeps the law? Why do you seek to kill me? The crowd answered, you have a demon. Who's seeking to kill you? Jesus answered them, I did one deed, and you all marvel at it. Moses gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If on the Sabbath a man receives circumcision, so that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because on the Sabbath I made a man's whole body well? Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. This ends the reading of God's word this morning. May he bless it. Albert Einstein said, if I had an hour to solve a problem and my life depended on it, I would use the first 55 minutes determining the proper questions to ask. If I had an hour to solve a problem that my life depended on, I'd use the first 55 minutes determining the proper questions to ask. G.K. Chesterton said, it's not that we can't see the solution, they can't see the problem. Questions. Are we asking the right questions when it comes to eternity, when it comes to salvation, when it comes to Jesus? And sharing your faith with others, for you who are followers of Christ, what is a good question to ask them to get them to start considering Jesus? Perhaps you're out here today and you're not a follower of Jesus. You have doubts, you have questions. Are you asking the right questions about Jesus? When considering Jesus, where should we start? Where do we start? Do we consider his origins? Do we consider his miracles? Do we consider his character? These are all good, important considerations for sure. But Jesus has one for us to consider when we think about where we should start. The starting point for embracing Jesus as Lord and Savior is to ask this question: do I really want to know God? In your heart of hearts, do you really endeavor to know God? That you want to know God even if He challenges the way you think. Even if He challenges you to give up the preconceived notions that you may have about Him and about life, and that your life will be radically different if you follow Him. Are you really seeking to know God? You and your friends who you witness to have to come to grips with this question. The implications are astronomical and eternal. If you're not asking the right questions about Jesus, your eternal destiny is hanging in the balance. Are you really seeking to know God? We'll look at 4 points this morning. The first point is knowing God. If you're seeking to know God, you must be willing to be obedient to God. If you want to know God, you must be willing to be obedient to God. Look at verse 14. About the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began teaching. We know from last time we are in the midst of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths. Jewish people from everywhere are coming to commemorate, to celebrate this feast. It was a feast that lasted 7 days. They would build for themselves these leafy huts that they would be in for 7 days. They would celebrate the deliverance that God gave them from Egypt, from Pharaoh, and they would remember how God preserved them as they wandered the wilderness. They would celebrate the harvest of grapes and olives. It was a time to pray for the rains to come. It was a great thing. It was a great time of celebration. And you may recall last time during this feast, the brothers are imploring Him to go to this feast, and Jesus says, I'm not going at this time, you guys go. And if you remember why Jesus doesn't want to go with the group, it's because there's Jewish leaders that want to kill Him. Many of the leaders at that time saw Jesus as a false prophet. They saw Him as a deceiver, and they wanted Him dead. If they followed the Old Testament law, if there was a false prophet among them, they were to stone this person, this individual. As Jesus was going about doing ministry, He was a wanted man. He was marked out by authorities as a heretic, one who ought to die. In the midst of this, Jesus, who always obeys the Father, Jesus, who always does what He sees the Father doing, goes to this feast, but He goes privately, out of reverent submission to the Father. Even though people wanted Him dead, Jesus goes up to this feast, and He begins teaching. In the midst of accusations, in the midst of unbelief, in the midst of a death warrant on His head, He goes. He goes to one of the many courts in the temple area, maybe the court of Gentiles, maybe the court of women, or one of the other porticos, and He begins teaching. In the midst of this huge crowd, imagine the thoughts, imagine the emotions of the disciples, the thoughts of Jesus, that in the midst of all this atmosphere, Jesus is so locked in to the will of the Father. Jesus only knows obedience. He does not know fear. He only sees pleasing and loving the Father and not fear, and He goes into this crowd who has a death warrant on Him and begins to teach openly. We see here Jesus is not driven by the whims and fear of man, but obedience and the glory of God. It's a great reminder that to know God means to be obedient to God. We see this in Jesus. If you're seeking to know Jesus, if you're seeking to know God, He will require you to consider your life. Is it heading in the right direction? Are you opposing Christ? And He will call you to change. If you're seeking to know God, will you obey God? God will call you to be open about your faith in the midst of fear, in the midst of anxiety. Will you obey? Will you be a light shining in a dark, dark world? In order to know God, He wants you to be obedient to God. You can say, I want to know God, but sometimes we just take God and make Him into our own imagination. We kind of just shape Him like our own Play-Doh figure. You know, we'll make him like this. We'll make him think like this. God is saying, no, you want to know me. You need to obey me. And as he's teaching, the text says in verse 15, the Jews marveled, saying, how is it this man has learning when he's never studied? How does this man have learning when he's never studied? And the second point we want to talk about is, in order to know God, we must receive God's revelation. We must receive his word. We can't just make up the God of our imagination. We must learn from Jesus. We must hear from his word. Jesus taught crowds in such a way they would just marvel at his insights and knowledge. They would listen to some of his teachings and they were just blown away. It just was so different. Let me share some of these teachings that Jesus shared with people. In Mark 5, 43 to 45, he would say this. And as I'm reading these things, I want you to picture Jesus talking to you. These are Jesus' words to his people. He's talking to you. He says, you have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Who talks like that? In Matthew 5, 27 to 28, he says, you have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, to everyone who looks on a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. What guy talks like that to challenge humanity? And then in Matthew 5, 3 to 18, he says things like this, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. And on and on. And they hear these things and they marvel. These teachings are so unique. They're so different. They're majestic. They're heavenly. And they're truths that had the ring of truth to it. They heard it and they just knew. They just knew. A commentator, he explains, he says, Jewish males during this time, during Jesus' day, was able to read and write, and they had some ideas and understanding of the scripture. What was unusual about Jesus was he was able to carry on these long dialogues with the rabbis, and he would pull out all kinds of scripture from the Old Testament, and no one would talk like this. And as we began some of these scriptures, Jesus was different. He would say, you have heard it said, but I say to you. He spoke with an authority, not of other rabbis or other professors or teachers, but it was an authority that was heavenly authority. The people marveled. They're like, well, where did he go to seminary? He didn't go to anywhere. He didn't go to Westminster in Philadelphia. He didn't go to Dallas Theological Seminary. He didn't go to RPTS. Where did he go? He didn't study under rabbis like Gamaliel or Hillel. Where did he study? How does he know these things? They were listening to Jesus' revelation of himself. They were hearing the things of God. Sometimes when witnessing, we don't want to read the Bible or consider the Bible. We want to create God in our own ways. But if we want to know God, we need his revelation. He needs to reveal to us who he is. We can't just think, well, I think he ought to be like this. I think he should be this way. No, you have to open the Word of God. You have to listen to the words of Jesus and let him guide you. Let him teach you. If you want to know God, you have to receive his teaching, his revelation. He's not someone we just make up in our own minds. The third thing we see in this text is if we are seeking God, it will lead us to know Jesus. If we are seeking to know God, it will cause us to know Jesus. Look at verse 16. So Jesus answered them, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. And this is the key verse 17. If anyone wills is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory, but the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there's no falsehood. Jesus said his teaching is God's teaching. He didn't learn it from a professor. He didn't learn it from a rabbi. Jesus in his humanity, he is fully divine and he's fully human, but Jesus in his humanity is dependent on God the Father and the Holy Spirit, and he's saying his teaching didn't come from himself, but it's direct revelation from God. So those beatitudes and those teachings that I just read moments ago, blessed are the poor in spirit, those are the thoughts of God the Father. Those are the thoughts of the Spirit of God. For Jesus, he studied under the Father of heaven. His university was the God of the universe. And Jesus can anticipate our questions and the people's next questions. Well, Jesus, that's a remarkable claim. You claim to have this revelation, but how do we know it's true? They don't say this question, but Jesus knows they are thinking it. And so he says in verse 17, if anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. It's a bold claim. It's a bold claim to challenge those we witness to. That's why we start off, do you really want to know God? Do you? Are you willing to be obedient to what he says? Are you willing to receive his revelation? Jesus says, if anyone is truly desirous to do the will of God, to seek after God, then you will know that what Jesus is saying is true. You'll just know. The Spirit of God draws his people. They will begin to hear. They will begin to understand, and they will just know. Seeking to know God requires fear of the Lord and being a humble sinner. Seeking to know God requires fear of the Lord and being a humble sinner. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Understanding that God is transcendent, that he's holy, that he's made all that I see and observe, and he is up there, and I am just a creature that he made, and I need to walk in humility in that. And to walk in humility that I've messed things up in my life, that I've done things selfishly, that I've loved selfishly, that I'm just a selfish human being that has sin. Psalm 25:8 says, good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners. He leads the humble in what is right. He teaches the humble his way. Psalm 25:12 says, who is the man who fears the Lord? It's him that God will instruct in the way to choose. And Proverbs 8:17, God says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. See, when the Spirit of God starts working on people's hearts and they really want to know God, he will reveal himself more and more. So if you have the desire to know God, you will know Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. He will show himself to you. That's how he works. Knowing Jesus comes from a will and a desire that wants to know God. So as you witness to your friends and family, just kind of ask them that question, do you really want to know? To where you're willing to change, to where you're willing to be obedient, to where you're willing to read the Word of God. Many times when you witness and you want to share Christ, people don't even want you to use the Bible. They don't even want to look at the Bible. Then they don't really have a desire to know God. They just want to make the God of their own imagination. But if you truly want to know, God will let you know that Jesus is the Messiah. And the last thing we see this morning is that if we want to know God, it requires you to not to distort the Scriptures. If you want to know God, it requires you to not distort the Scriptures. Jesus gives us an example. Look at verse 19. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me? The crowd answered, you have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you? Jesus answered them, I did one deed. you all marvel at it. Moses gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers, and you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If on the Sabbath a man receives circumcision so that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because the Sabbath I made a man's whole body well? The people loved Moses. They loved the scriptures that God gave them through Moses. So Jesus uses Moses to share with them that they're not even following Moses. First he says, you're not even following the law. The law that Moses gave you, you don't even follow it. You are lawbreakers and you want to kill me. You want to kill me that the one Moses wrote about that was going to come, this great prophet, you want to kill me. The crowd responds, you're nuts. Who is seeking to kill you? Obviously, the crowd where he is teaching is just not all the Jewish leaders, but it's a mix of all the people from all over coming to this Feast of Tabernacles. He goes on to explain, do you remember not so long ago when I was here the last time? You see, Jesus was up in Galilee and he comes down to Judea. The last time he was here, Jesus does this miracle. There's an invalid for like 35 years or 38 years who wasn't able to move or walk, and it's the Sabbath. And Jesus asked this man, do you want to be made well? The man, yes. And he says, be healed. Take up your bed and go home. This man who was hurting for so many years on the Sabbath day receives rest like he hasn't experienced in a long, long time. So he takes up his bed and he walks. The religious leaders and authorities are there and they see this man walking with a mat. And one of the human traditions in the laws of that time was you shouldn't be carrying something from one place to another. You're doing work on the Sabbath. And so they asked him, who told you to take up this mat and walk? And the man who was healed, he discovers it was Jesus. And they're irate. They're so angry. Jesus, how could you do this to this man? You're making him break the law of the Sabbath. You are a heretic. You are a blasphemer. How could you do these things? They were so incensed. Jesus, how could you do these things? You see, they were taking things that they understood of the scriptures. They didn't understand them properly. They were distorting them and twisting them for their own means, for their own glory, to make themselves look good. Jesus says, remember those things? He goes, well, let me ask you a question. We are called to circumcise. We're called to circumcise baby boys 8 days after they are born. We're not to do any work on the Sabbath, but if it's 8 days falls on a Sabbath, you guys go ahead and circumcise on the Sabbath. And it's a good thing. It represents he's part of the visible community. He's part of the visible community of God. And it's a great thing. Jesus says, if you can do that kind of work, why would you accuse me as a heretic for this man that God loves and he makes him whole physically, a greater good than circumcision? He's arguing from the lesser good to the greater good. He's trying to help them to understand their misunderstanding the application of Scripture. He says, you're messing it all up. You think you know God, but you're distorting it to your own destruction. And Jesus concludes in verse 24, he says, don't judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. Jesus is basically saying, don't twist the scriptures for your own glory. Don't have it say something that it doesn't say. And also as he goes through, when you read the Old Testament, Jesus after the resurrection, he's talking to the disciples and he basically says, when you read the Old Testament, it's pointing to me. That healing that I did on the Sabbath, that's pointing to the rest that I give my people. I give them rest from sin. I give them rest from death. I give them rest from diseases. I have come to make all things new. All these things in the Old Testament, from Abraham to Moses to Daniel to the prophets, it's all about me. Jesus says it's all about me. When you understand his revelation properly, when you're willing to obey the things of God, then you start to know who Jesus is. What's important for us is that we can't come to a judgment about Christ by what the crowds think. We can't come to a judgment about who Jesus is by what popular opinion is, what the History Channel says, or what Time Magazine says, what hip-hop stars say, what talk show hosts say, or even what preacher says, but what the Word of God says. That's how you know Jesus. Do you want to know God? Then you need to know the Scriptures. So in review, knowing God, if you truly want to know God, are you willing to be obedient to God is the first question. Because he's going to challenge you. He's going to challenge you about your thoughts of who he is. He's going to challenge you how you ought to be living. If you want to know God, you need to receive his revelation, his word from his Bible about who he is and about Jesus. And if you're truly seeking to know God, if God's Spirit is in you drawing him, drawing you, you will know Jesus. And knowing God requires that you don't distort the Scriptures. Don't twist them. Don't play games with it. Let it say what it says. The starting point to embracing Jesus is, do you want to know God? Do you truly want to know God? That's a good starting point. So as you witness, or even as you consider yourself this person of Jesus, do I truly want to know him? To where when he speaks to me, I'm willing to do what he says and follow him. Do you? Do you? Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Spirit that you chase us down, that you don't leave us alone, that you want us to live life, to live it abundantly in peace and comfort and hope of forgiveness of sins. To know that we were created, to know that we are loved, to know that we belong, to know that there's hope in the midst of such hardship and such sin, and even hope beyond the grave. There's a Savior who is overcome, and his name is Jesus. Lord, give us the faith to share, the confidence and the boldness to be obedient, and to know that if we obey, it is so good. Help us to share the good news with those around us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.